Welcome back to Everyday Health Hacker. And in the series that we're coming up with the playlist, we are going to be talking about pain management. And interesting enough, this is one of our subspecialties here at Meridian Medical Dental Healthcare, powered by Meridian Health Institute. And what we're going to be talking about is something that you hear from doctors all the time. What is your pain level? From 1 to 10, how do you categorize it? So we're going to discuss some brief tips and things that you can prepare for visiting your doctor so that you can get the whole story and get the treatment that you need to have that fulfilling life. Listen to, we hope you listen, subscribe, and we look forward to your comments.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Everyday Health Hacker. I'm Mike Herzing, along with the nicest and most awesome lady around, Dr. Lisa Liao.
Thank you for that intro.
Well, it's easy to say.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate it.
It's really easy to say because you're a lot smarter than anybody around here that I know of, that's for sure. Dr. Lisa Liao is board certified in about everything that I know of, but actually it's family medicine, right here at the Meridian Health Institute in Sugar Land, Texas. I tell you what, this lady has got it going. Tell you what, she really does. And she's going to give you information that you need to make informed health decisions. And tell you what, we've got a lot of pain here. This lady here handles pain management better than anybody that I can know of because she has lived with it for as long as I've known her, haven't you?
Yes, I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis when I was in medical school. Many of you guys know that because I talk about that very openly.
But nobody believes it.
I can show you what I call my fat pictures because I was in a wheelchair at 204 pounds. And, you know, now I'm holding 131, something like that. And, you know, still, like every girl, I have a goal weight and I'm working on it. So we'll get there together. That's another playlist. So please listen to it. And, you know, one of the things that I always share with pain management is that I've kind of been through every stage that there is to be with pain management. There's a grief perspective in the sense that, you know, this is not my diagnosis. I don't believe you. You're in denial. Then you get angry. Then you get to acceptance and then you move on. And this is about, you know, one of the reasons why I wrote all of those books is to help people to move on so that they can live their best life now and not have to go through the years and years of putting yourself in a dark place.
Sure. Well, you know, but people don't believe it. This can't be me. Why is this happening to me? Mm-hmm. You know, and so on and so forth. It's mm-hmm. just like, and I've been in a lot of pain. I've had surgeries mm-hmm. and things like that. And my pain level is a lot higher than most people. Mm-hmm. And they're like, don't you want some pain meds with that? I'm like, no, I do not want pain meds. I can deal with this. Really not a problem. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, on the level of 1 to 10, where are you? And I was like, well, I'm about a 3. No, you can't. You got to be higher than that.
Yeah, correct.
Because my usually, 3 and your 3 are two different things.
And that's why I always share with patients is that it's really important to understand, you know, doctors are going to subjectively ask, mm-hmm. where do you think your pain level is? So a lot of times patients will say, you know, I think it's a 3, I think it's a 7. And so I'm like, let me kind of characterize what that is.
Right.
From basically 1 to 4, that's something that's manageable and you can absolutely ignore it. Which means if you're going to say that my pain levels are 3 or a 4, then you should not be complaining. You should be doing and living life. Okay. Now, if you're at a 4.5 or a 5, what did you do to improve it? Did you use ice? Maybe you need some capsaicin, like icy hot, and rub it down, rub the shoulder mm-hmm. or the knee down, or Voltaren, which is diclofenac, over the counter now. It used to be actually prescription, and
it's the cream, a gel that works really well.
I recently had a patient that was having surgery, and she's like, they won't let me out because I'm in severe back pain, but she went in for a different type of surgery, and I said, ask them for Voltaren, see if they'll rub that on your back. And a couple of hours later, she texts me back and she's like, oh my gosh, the doctor listened. They put it on there. I'm going home tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So it's just amazing that some little tidbits of changes can really help you to feel better. And that's like, you know, if you're having your hands are hurting, rub some Voltaren on it. It makes it feel better. You know, pressure makes you feel better. That's why if you cut yourself, the first thing you do is you grab your finger where you cut it. So that's talking about a 4.5 to 5 is doing something about it. And then there's patients that are that 6 to 7. 6 to 7 is that I'm going to work, I'm showing up. However, I'm not completing because I'm so distracted with the pain. when you are an 8, 9, or 10 is that you're not going to work. You're staying in bed, and it's hurting so much that it's kind of stopped you from life. So at that 10, I always say, oh, that's when you call the ambulance because it's so bad. And they're like, oh, doc, it never gets that bad. However, they just told me that their pain level was a 10. Right. So it's really understanding what that is and where that is. So if it's a 1 to 4, there's absolutely no complaints. You continue, you live your best life, and you keep going on. 4.5 to 5, then that is something that what can you do right now to improve the discomfort? Maybe that is take medications, maybe that's make an appointment, but it's taking an action. 7 or 8, now you've gone too long with pain, and you're almost paralyzed with what do I do because you're in agony at this point. So that's why you need to have what I call a pain tree. And a pain tree for my chronic pain patients is a plan of what you can do when that occurs. Mm-hmm. For me, when I was in that situation, I have what I called my island, which was my couch. And I would have my favorite book. Yeah. And granted, at that time I was in medical school. So my book was, you know, a good 4 inches thick of internal medicine that I was studying. Because at any time, if I could keep my mind busy, I could be distracted from the pain. Mm-hmm. So we have to teach that. You know, it may be a hobby. It may be knitting, something that keeps you really busy mentally, physically, and also there's that spiritual aspect. Because in my darkest days of severe pain, I know, and I could quote, you know, your grace is sufficient. And that's from a very spiritual point of view, is that I knew that I was walking through something and that God and Jesus was walking through with me so that I could be at a better place. And that's why I want to witness and share with people, you can be at a better place, but you have to have a plan. And if you understand how to communicate of what we call a visual analog scale of 1 to 10, where are you in your pain level? You might go with a diary and say, when my pain is a 4, and that squeak is Denali's toy. She loves to play around here and make everybody happy. And also, geez, pets just give off oxytocin and they make you feel better. So a lot of my chronic pain patients have adopted a cat or a dog or, you know, a pet in order to help them to feel better as a comfort. So going back to the 1 to 10 is that if you can go in with a diary of saying, you know, when I'm at a 4, I can concentrate and I can do things. But at a 5 or a 6, you know what? My house chores have kind of gone to the wayside. I haven't even gone to pick up the mail. You know, describe what you can and you can't do, because that gives the picture in a very small amount of time of where we need to get you to on the next point. And that may be, maybe you need to ask for help. Maybe you need to have your friends over to come over and help you to clean. Maybe stock up your grocery store. Stock up your pantry and your refrigerator with food. I know that when I was in a lot of pain out of the hospital, it was very hard for me to ask my friends for help. And you know what? Here I am in medical school. You would think that I would know that. And I felt ashamed of not sharing, you know, that here I have a condition I'm not able to do, and maybe I won't be able to practice medicine. And a very good friend shared with me, you know, asking for help is courage. And that's when I asked my friends, you know, if they could come in and step in. And so we would just have study parties at my apartment as opposed to their apartment, where we could do things together, and they would help stock the refrigerator and the pantry and help me to do things that I wasn't able to do so that I could continue to go to school. And I would not be here today if I didn't have those friends and that family members that would come over and keep me going. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's when you also have to say, you know, do you need to be in a wheelchair or a scooter? I went from a wheelchair to a Yellow Canary scooter, and I was able to get down the hallways at 15 miles an hour. You know, I could get there before anybody else, which was really great. So it's okay to say, you know, maybe I can't do that now, but I can do that later, and we'll work on getting to the later together by building a plan. And knowing your 1 to 10 and what you can and cannot do at this time, knowing what you cannot do is building a plan of what we're going to do together in the future.
Yeah, they always say try to keep ahead of it.
Stay ahead of it.
You know, if you have any, taking some sort of medicine to mitigate the situation getting any worse, let's say you're taking anti-inflammatories or you're taking some type of ibuprofen or something,
right,
don't let it run out. you know, that's it's, one of those kind
it's
of
staying ahead and staying scheduled and making sure that with the medications that you're supposed to take with food, you take it with foods, because you don't want to cause an ulcer because you're taking ibuprofen. You want to be ahead
that's
of
just
it.
More pain.
That's just causing more pain and more discomfort and more nausea. You know, for a lot of pain patients, they're like, you know, I take it minimally. However, you know, if you're finishing, you know, maybe you have rheumatoid arthritis, but and you just had hip surgery or a knee replacement, you know, we might have to have that scheduled medication, and so that we're staying ahead of it, and then we'll wean as we need to. And then there's a lot of medications that we can switch to that get you off of those medications once you're in a chronic condition. And we're going to have a segment that's completely about how to get off pain medications when you're in chronic pain and how it will still help you with your chronic pain. But it's a neurochemistry that we have to build with the brain and with the chemicals in our body so that we can get past the pain.
You know, you're right. And sometimes it's just a dull pain that just never goes away.
It
just makes you nuts because it just never stops. It's kind of like my tinnitus. It just doesn't stop. If I could just make it stop for just a little while.
You can feel like you're rested with it.
So,
and that's what we're going to talk about in our next segment is how do we describe pain so that we can describe it well so that the doctors know what type of pain, because there actually are different types of pain. And we're going to talk about that in the next segment.
And relationships.
Absolutely.
It's really tough to get along with somebody when they're in pain.
If you're complaining all the time, yes, it's hard to get along with you.
So
the key is to learn not to complain, but you have to learn how to communicate well.
Yeah.
And we hope today's segment will be very helpful in how you communicate with your doctors. Here at Meridian, we want to be your resource of information, both medically and dental. And, you know, from this everyday health hacker to you being an everyday health hacker, we want you to take control of your health and your future. So we hope you'll subscribe, and we look forward to your comments as well.
Absolutely. Have a great week, folks.